continue on through all of eternity. So Jesus, we worship you and we praise you and we magnify you and we thank you and we lift you up on high and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Jesus, we let our minds think on you. We let our hearts express to you. We let our voices sing and talk and shout, and we let our bodies move and dance before you. We just give our all to you because you gave your all for us. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, all that you want to do this morning, just have your way. All that you want to do this morning, just move in the ways that you desire to. Move in the ways that you want to. And that's drawing into us as we're drawing into you. That's magnifying Jesus. That's touching our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our lives to become closer to you. And that's also stirring up our hearts to reach out to those that are lost and don't know you. For those that are hurting and need a healer. For those that are broken and need a fixer. That's you, Jesus. So here we are, Lord, just before you once again, and in honor and privilege to know you, to love you, and to praise you, and to worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be magnified, be glorified in our midst here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Well, we're here to lift him up, to praise him, to worship.
Here I am, and I have come to thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. You paid the price at Calvary. You shed your blood. You set me free. Thank you, Lord. No greater love was ever shown. No better life was ever laid down. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise. And I took my shame, you drank my cup, you bore my pain. Thank you, Lord. You broke the curse, you broke the chains, in victory from death you rose again. Thank you, Lord. at Calvary. Yes, you shed your blood, you set us free. Thank you, Lord. No greater love was ever shown. No better life ever was laid down. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise.
And I
will always love your name. You took my shame, you drank my cup, you bore my pain. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
you broke the curse, you broke the chains. In victory from death you rose today. By your grace, you clothe me now in your righteousness. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise.
And
I will always love your name. Give me peace, you restore my soul. Thank you, Lord. And you fill me up, and when I'm full, you give me peace
till I overflow.
Thank you, Lord. And you're making me to be like you, to do the works of the Father too. Oh. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise. And I will always love your name. We'll always sing your praise.
And I into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just open up your mouth and thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, for rescuing me from the slavery of sin. For healing me, oh, your mercy and your grace are amazing. You are amazing, God. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise. And I will always love your name. And I will. What a beautiful name. And I.
Bow down. Here I am to say that. guess I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, to nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. And Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, yes, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will lose. Jesus, you're the is all about you, from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you.
Mighty name.
of Jesus.
Every knee
shall bow, and every tongue confess.
Powerful name it is. Nothing
can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, you are center of it all, Jesus.
Oh, you are glorified. You are magnified. You are glorified. Yes, Lord.
With God the Lord Most High, your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Well, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Clear this out one more time this morning.
And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
You have no rival,
you what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. Your name, Lord.
Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we celebrate, we rejoice in your presence. Every single one of us have reason to praise, reason to give you thanks. Lord, you tell us in the scriptures to give thanks always in everything. Father, we are here worshiping the King of Glory, standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sons and daughters of a Father that loves us extravagantly and beautifully. Standing before a King that knows every single thing about us, knowing that He rejoices over us. Take that in for a minute, to think that He knows every single thing, even the things that we're not so proud of, the things that we're not so excited about in ourselves. He knows every single one of those things, and He looks at you with joy and rejoicing because you're His beautiful creation. Father, it is an honor and a joy to be able to stand before you, Lord, to receive your grace and your mercy and your beautiful love. Father, let our hearts just continuously sing out in worship. Let our lives be an echo to the King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to begin to prepare for a time of communion. But before we do that, I wanted to welcome a dear friend in the house. The Paralozzi family is with us today. Yeah. It's been a while. You good, Paul? Family's good? It's an honor to have you guys here. For those of you who might not know, Paul has been a dear friend of the ministry for years. You started coming to the Goki Bible study back before I was around. You were here before me, right? Yes, many years, right? Many, many years, and I've had the joy of being able to go on several retreats with Paul. And let me tell you that this man here carries so much joy everywhere he goes. So if you don't know Paul, please take advantage of an opportunity to get to know him a little bit after service. But it's an honor to have their whole family here today. And so we are celebrating that as well as many other things. So we're going to prepare our hearts for a time of communion. I'm going to have Mike come up. Thank you, Lord. And this belongs to you, sir.
Let's grab a little communion cup. just staying in a reflective state in worship and what the Lord is doing here in this house right now. And that's really, really what it is. It's that we are home. We're in this house. So just, if you could quiet your heart and listen, I really feel like the Lord has a little blip for each of us. Justin, we're going to pull up the Passion Translation in Acts 2, if that's okay. But in the interim, how many here have had an opportunity to be humbled this week? Yes, me too. Me too. And there's such glory in the process of going lower. And in that process of going lower, being able to bless the name of Jesus Christ, who died for each one of us, who cleansed us of our sins. And as we walk in relationship with him, it reminds me that as we go lower, who am I? Who am I, Mike Wheeler? Who am I to look at my own past and to judge myself when the King of Kings has forgiven me of my sins, washed me clean, and said, your sins are no more. How dare you, when I do not remember your sin, how dare you step back into the memory of what has happened in the past, because it is cut off in the name of Jesus Christ. It is cut off. And in the process of going lower and walking that brown robe opportunity, where sometimes I feel like the Lord says, lay the brown robe down so that the king may enter. There are other times where I feel like I have to physically lay down in the brown robe so that the footprints can trample on me. That's how it feels like. That's what going lower sometimes feels like. And in that process, as those that you are blessing may not even know that they're being blessed, in that process, as you are going lower and asking the Lord, Lord, let me reflect you in your light, that it's in those moments that the Lord is truly using each of us, truly using each of us to be a blessing. You know, it's easy, I think, in humanity to sit and to embrace our own pain or embrace challenges or disappointments or embrace whatever it is that we feel maybe right or wrong. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can bring breakthrough in those times of growth, where he reminds you that all things old have passed away, and that in the name of Jesus, through fellowship and devotion to him, that all things have been made new. Amen. You know, we are called to be faithful stewards of what God has given us, and that in order for long-term blessings to take place, that we rely on him. But in this moment, you know, I've so been talking about what the Lord is doing in this body, because as we all then grow closer with one another and we weave our lives together, it may seem strange. You look around, it's like there aren't that many people here. Well, guess what? There were only 12 disciples and the world was radically changed. We together are stronger. We together are home. And we are walking out an Acts 2 lifestyle. Amen. So let's read Acts 2. I'm going to just jump all the way to the end. We're going to go to verse 42. And just close your eyes. You can read along on the screen, but or just take it in. But I want to read specifically from the Passion Translation, because it speaks to the community of believers in this time where we take communion, remembering the price that the precious Lamb of God paid, not only for our sins, but the revelation of his love that flows through us each and every day. So in Acts 2, the community of believers, it says in verse 42, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Think about those in this room. Our hearts our lives are mutually linked to one another. When I'm in joy, you're in joy. When I'm in sorrow, you're in sorrow. Because we're intertwined. We love one another. So their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. That is this house. Miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, in unity, as one body. And they shared with one another whatever they had, which is how we live. Whatever you need, you speak it out, we will have and we will live in radical generosity. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with the praises to God, enjoying the favor of all of the people. Think about that. As we drove here this morning, we drove through the neighborhood. Lord, the favor, not just on our lives, but that those people would see and be drawn into home. Welcome home. Come join us. Come join us. Welcome home. They were continually filled with the praises to God, enjoying the favor of all of the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. So right now, we're going to take this communion in anticipation and say, Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we speak to the mountains. We speak to the mountains, and we say, Lord, we also fully know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So, Father, we ask that the time would begin now, that we would see radical transformation here in our own neighborhood, that our current friends and our future friends would begin to come home in the name of Jesus, and that they would repent, and that we would walk with them, and that we would find that joy comes in the sorrow. Lord, we thank you that we are cleansed and redeemed from the past. And that, Lord, you use those moments. You use our past. You know what's going on to propel us into the destiny that you have for us for our future. So, Lord, we lay our lives down and we say in humility, use us to fulfill your word so that heaven may reign here on earth in your perfect will. Father, we thank you for this body. We thank you for Frontline, for what it's doing, and we bless those connected across the globe. Father, we ask for supernatural favor, protection, and that you would send your ministering angels across the world. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's a good morning. I just wanted to highlight some things that are happening because lots is happening before we hear a message this morning. So I'm going to kind of start backwards. just want to highlight that Summer Celebration, aka VBS, is happening July 31st through August 2nd. And that is for pre-K through fifth grade. And so please look forward to more information. You can start inviting all the little children in your lives. I believe there's hard copy flyers out in the foyer, and then obviously there's stuff online. So we're excited and looking forward to that. It is a different time of the year for us. Typically, we do that earlier, but this year we are doing it in July. And on the helping side, I've been reaching out to some of you, so some of you are aware, and then we'll continue to reach out to you Obviously, that takes a lot of hands and help. So appreciate any time that you can devote in preparation for that or during the actual time of summer celebration. So next week, very important so that we all catch this, due to Green Light Missions, we will not be meeting here next Sunday morning. We will be meeting at the Larson home, at Troy and Rachel's house. If for some reason you don't know where that is, feel free to talk to Troy and Rachel, and they can get you there. We'll be meeting as a conclusion of our Green Light Missions, which I'll explain that in a minute. Will be happening then Sunday morning at the Larson house, and we'll be outside for our worship service, and then there'll be lunch available for everybody to partake in. It's the same time, 10:30. And I was just going to say that, feel free to bring a long lawn chair to hang out outside. They have trees and all the, you know, their shade and such. So it's always a fun time, and it's always nice to be outdoors during this nice weather. So prepare for that. So no church here on Sunday. It'll be at the Larson home. So this week will be the kickoff of our Green Light Missions. That's for our elementary age crianças, our children. So that's actually starting on Thursday with our junior high. And then Friday, we all gather at the Larson home, and where we camp out and we spend the weekend together. The children, well, all of us who are there, we'll have an opportunity to minister at a nursing home on Friday afternoon. And then preparing dramas and dances for our big outreach on Saturday. We're going to be at Skyline Terrace, where we have inflatables and candy and other things, to food and games and crafts and such, just to minister to the community there. And our children minister through drama, through dance, through them sharing the gospel themselves, whether it's on a microphone or one-on-one. So it's a great, great time. It's always been an awesome time together, and the Lord always blesses us and blesses all the people that we get an opportunity to minister to. So if you are part of Green Light Missions, you're a Green Light missionary, so they've been receiving teaching about Green Light Missions all through the school year during the Sunday mornings. And so this is something that they've been preparing for all school year. And so this is the big coming together of it. So if you're a Green Light missionary, please stand up. So if... So why don't you guys stay standing up real quick, and we're going to stretch our arms out, or if you're near one, you can, reach them. And we are going to bless, Lord. We bless our Green Light missionaries, Father. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have poured into them, Lord God, during the school year. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are going to anoint them, Father God, that you are covering them, Lord, for such a time as this. And we speak blessing, Lord, over their dances and their dramas and their everything else, every other tool that you've given them, Lord God, to be able to minister your love and your word and your power. Father, and I thank you that as they step out in service to you, Jesus, that you, Father, are just revealing your love for them in the very deep places of their hearts, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord, that it's for their growth, Lord God, and also for the lives that are out there in Skyline and the rest of the areas that will be, Lord. We just thank you for preparing that ground as we come and invade with your love and your gospel, Lord. So we just bless these children with health, with strength, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you that all that can be there will come, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, and bless all the families that need to sleep in tents. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. However, there will be healing rooms on Friday here. Andy will be here along with I don't know who else, but there will be healing rooms here. If you were needing healing rooms ministry or know of others, there will be healing rooms while the rest of us are off doing Green Light Mission things. Amen? All right, and finally, before I can stop talking and we can get to the word of the Lord, Jackson Celebration, I always mess up the name, Jackson Community Celebration, not Summer Celebration, happened this past weekend, starting Wednesday, I think. And so it was, from what I understand, it was a great time. I got to be there yesterday at 1 o'clock. Very toasty. But from what I understand, there was, did Rachel White want to come up and say, or I don't know if Carly's here. But there was a lot of amazing things that happened. So we had, part of our booth was sharing a prophetic picture or word. And then we also introduced glitter tattoos this year. We had done them for Green Light Mission, but we brought them to Jackson this year. And apparently that was a great hit. So thank you to all the children who were able to help with that. And so, and of course, you adults, but I heard that a lot of children were able to step out and help with that. So these wonderful women will give you a little bit more of the testimony side of things. And thank you to Rachel and Carly and everybody else who helped coordinate that this year.
Yes. And thank you to everyone who came out for this weekend, setting up, cleaning up. It was all much appreciated because it was very warm, but God be praised. And the word that I just really feel burning on my heart this morning is just to stand in the miracle. And just as was mentioned that, you know, we might be small, a small group, but believing for a lot of fruit for Jackson Celebration, that it wasn't just an event that's over with, but that that fruit and that the seeds that were sown will be very fruitful. And so just stand in the miracle for yourself, but for also for our community. And so Amanda has a testimony, I think Mike does.
Well, again, I just want to thank Rachel. She did so much work this week. Rachel, we just honor you. We're so grateful for you. I heard many people talk this week about how grateful we as a church body are for you and all the work that you put in, as, and Carly as well. So thank you. But I was very honored. I had the opportunity to lead two high school students last night to the Lord, to Jesus. It was awesome. A couple tidbits I want to mention about that. So the students at Jackson High School know about impact. So that's pretty awesome. As I was talking to these students, and one of Rachel and I, one of us mentioned impact, and they were like, oh yeah, we know about impact. We know about impact. Some of my friends go to impact, actually. So it was interesting just to talk to young people at the fair and hear that there is a buzz at the high school about impact. So just to encourage everyone was either a part of that as a student or has been a part of it, that the Lord, you know, the Lord's moving through it and students know about it. But I just want to share, I was really nervous to talk to these kids. They were dressed really cool, and, you know, and they're like high schoolers, and I'm like this weird woman in my 30s, and I just felt, you know, I felt, if you've ever felt nervous to, when we're at an outreach at First Friday or wherever, if you've ever felt nervous to actually step in and do more than just like, hey, who wants a tattoo? And then I'm going to let Rachel or Carly, there you go, you can sit with Carly, and I'm just going to go back out here and invite people. I felt really nervous, and so I was going out to avoid having to talk to people. I was actually going out into the crowd away from the booth and was inviting people to the booth, and I'm just being honest. And so then these two kids that I invited, they actually followed me. They came into the tent, and I'm sort of like walking around the tent like this. And I'm letting, like, Rachel help them with their tattoos, and she gave them the heart of the Father. And then I just felt like the conviction of the Lord, like I'd like you to press into this, Amanda. And I just felt like nervous and the fear of rejection. What if they get mad at me? Like all the things that run through your mind and are barriers to you actually being willing to sit down and have a conversation with someone. But the Lord, in his grace and mercy, helped me to press through that. We started asking them about their faith, and Rachel really got it going. But then I actually sat down with them, and I shared my testimony of how I, a summary of my testimony and how I came back to the Lord in college through the Bible study that we do at Mount Union, actually, and just shared my testimony. I don't have a testimony that the Lord has, he gifted me with a $1 million lottery ticket or any of those wonderful things, but I have a testimony of walking through a lot of hard things with the Lord, and he's made me an overcomer, and that is the cross. That is us in Christ crucified in us, is that he doesn't guarantee us that there's a gold pot at the end of the rainbow, but he does guarantee that through every hard thing we go through, he's going to be there with us, and he's going to make us an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I shared that with them, and they started crying. The girls started crying, and shared with them about how culture offers us all these things, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and we're all looking for peace, but only true peace only comes through Jesus. And I just gave them the full gospel. I didn't water it down. I talked about heaven and hell and sin, the wages of sin, and it was really meaningful to them. And I asked them, I said, this is a moment, and can you feel it? They're like, yeah, we can feel it. And so I led them in prayer, and it was just so cool because I could have just been like, Jesus loves you, here's the heart of your father, make sure you read this when you go home. And I've done that 100 times, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like, the Lord helped me to press through all the fear and the fear of rejection that I had. And if I hadn't pressed through that, they would not be saved. Like, they went to bed last night, and they woke up this morning, and they're in the kingdom of God. They're saved. So just to encourage you that you can do it too. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Let's do it together. And First Friday is coming up a week from Friday, and you will have an opportunity to step in then.
Yes, First Friday, July 5th, happening. Thank you, Amanda. And just wanted to share, Carly, also wanted to thank the kids for their drawing pictures, not just tattoos. So thank you, everyone, for stepping into that. And thank you for always being so willing, Frontline family, to go into those uncomfortable places and share the love of Jesus. And this is Mike with two young women. So I believe he's going to share as well.
Yeah, so I got to the booth yesterday, a little after 6. And shortly after I got there, Rachel White was still there as well. And these two young ladies came up, and they were just kind of standing like this, kind of looking at the sign that says free picture. And so I just asked them, would you like a personal picture? And explain what that is, where we ask God for a picture to draw for you, to bless you. It's like a prayer in a picture form. And they came up, and actually one of them went to Rachel to have a glitter tattoo, and the other one, Allison, on the left. My sister's middle name's Allison, so it's like, it's a great name. And so I just started, drawing the picture for her. It was like a picture of these ice cubes that was melting fire, and then this fountain of water bursting forth, and just how that represents the love of God, just quenching any, fire, anger, that she's going to be a woman of peace and, through Jesus. And that just led into a total conversation of just sharing the gospel. I just, just went for it, like Amanda was sharing, and just really started to share who Jesus is. And she's like, well, I don't really consider myself a religious person, and my parents aren't religious or something like that. But as I continued to share with her, she just was really engaged. I mean, she was just locked in. And then her friend Kaylee came over, who's from Nashville. She's visiting. She was just came in right at the thick of me sharing and just was also totally engaged. And then I proceeded to draw a picture for Kaylee. And it was these, like, mountain peaks, and it had to do with you know, how plants receive nutrients, you know, in the same way that we receive the nourishment from Jesus. And again, just continued to share the gospel with her as well. And talked about heaven and hell, you know, again, like Amanda was sharing, just the full gospel, why Jesus came. And so then by the end, I said, you know, this would be a decision that you would make. This would be the most important decision of your life. Would you like to receive Jesus today? Would you like to invite him in? And they both looked at each other and they said, yes, we would. We would. And they were totally serious, totally like they knew what they were doing. And so I led them through the prayer and I could just feel the Holy. I think I even said, I just really feel God's here right now. And then after the prayer, just led them through the prayer. When I opened my eyes, I'm like, God's here. And I said, I smiled, how do you feel? Like, how do you feel? And they're like, we feel lighter. I feel lighter. They both said that. Like, I just feel lighter. And so it's awesome. So they are born again, and praise God for that. And so just to encourage all of us, you know, we all have the spirit of evangelism, because who's the greatest evangelist? Holy Spirit. Jesus is. So if you think only, no, I can't really do this. This is for some people, not really me. Don't receive that lie, because that's from the enemy. We are all called to be evangelists. We're all called to step out and share the gospel and with, you know, everyone we meet. So, amen.
Thank you. All right. Well, lastly, we bless the Ghana people who had training weekend. Keep praying for them. They're going to be heading out at the end of July. But for right now, so we can hear the word of the Lord, Michelle's going to be sharing with us this morning. Children, you are released to your places.
And half the building exits now. While they are exiting and then people are getting resituated, you can cue the video clip, but we won't play it yet. So Greenlight Missions, it's amazing what the Lord does through the Children's Mission Weekend. Does anyone remember last year how many people during the outreach came to get saved? Because there was a lot. Does anyone remember? I just want to give glory to the Lord. I mean, I think it was definitely scores of people at Greenlight Missions at your outreach. Do you remember? It's okay. Ballpark, was it like around 40 or something? How many people gave their lives to the Lord at the outreach last year for Greenlight Missions? That's okay. Well, it was a lot, so. Huh? The children know for sure. So we say, do it again, Lord. Increase, multiply. I mean, I love hearing these testimonies of salvation, because testimony is do it again, Lord, and we there's momentum there. So if there's someone in your life that the Lord's been bringing to your heart that needs to get saved, hey, let's just declare out this is their week. You know, there's going to be a connection with them. There's going to be more that come into the kingdom. So, Lord, we just commit this morning again into your hands, Lord, and, Lord, I just pray that you would totally... You are on the throne, Lord, that every word spoken, Lord, by your messenger would be your words, Lord, not my words. And, Lord, we just pray your blessing and anointing on every person here. Just sense to pray for healing. If you're contending for healing in your body or someone that you know, just you can lift up your hand, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, Father, in 1 Peter 2:24, He who personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for his righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. Lord, we declare healing, Lord, in our bodies, Father, and for our family members that we're contending for in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you say that you sent forth your word and healed them. Lord, I thank you that your word is sent forth this morning and your healing anointing, Lord, whether here or in a hospital bed or remotely by our media connections, Lord, in Jesus' name, healing, healing, healing today in the name of Jesus, and we give you all the glory. And Lord, that's healing from physical maladies as well as mental illness and affliction in the name of Jesus. We speak to cancer and say cancer bows to the name of Jesus. We speak to all infection and say infection bows to the name of Jesus. We speak to any terminal illness and say it's not terminal in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you said rise up, pick up your mat and walk to that man, Father God, by the pool, Lord God, in your scripture, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we rise up this morning. Lord, we stand in faith, we believe your word, and we receive our healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the word that kept coming to my heart as I was preparing for the message today was the word elite. Think about that word for a moment. Felt like the Lord was reminding me and reminding us that we're called to be elite special forces in his kingdom. So think of our military, and then think of those who have to train, who have to go through a process, and they become special forces. They become our Green Berets or our Navy SEALs. It's not everyone in the military who can reach that kind of pinnacle. But I believe in the kingdom, in our identity, that we at Frontline are called to be those elite special forces, and we need to be reminded of that. You know, we're called to rescue those in deep darkness. We're called to go to those situations that seem the hardest, that seem the most impossible, whether it's in our families or anyone we meet on the streets. And I just, I wanted to share a video to start this off and see where the Lord takes it. It's not a preaching video, but the Lord highlighted it for me, and I felt that there's prophetic significance. The narrator, his name is Admiral William McRaven. Has anyone heard of him? Maybe my husband has. He's a retired U.S. Navy four-star admiral and former Navy SEAL. During his time in the military, he commanded the Special Operations Forces at every level, eventually taking charge of the U.S. Special Operations Command. His career included combat during Desert Storm in both Iraq and Afghanistan wars. He commanded the troops that captured Saddam Hussein and rescued Captain Phillips. He's also credited with developing the plan and leading the Osama bin Laden mission in 2011. And there are visuals in this video, but I really received a lot when I just closed my eyes. And again, he's not talking about the Bible specifically, but there are biblical principles that can certainly be applied, and I believe prophetic significance before we get into the word. So if you want to play that.
The ninth week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the Mud Flats. The Mud Flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the Mud Flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive this freezing cold, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us we could leave the mud if only five men would quit. Only five men, just five men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still over 8 hours till the sun came up, eight more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted. And somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope. The power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start singing when you're up to your neck in mud. During the land warfare phase of training, the students are flown out to San Clemente Island, which lies off the coast of San Diego. The waters off San Clemente are a breeding ground for the great white sharks. To pass SEAL training, there are a series of long swims that must be completed. One is the night swim. Before the swim, the instructors joyfully brief the students on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you, however, that no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not that they can remember. But you are also taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts towards you, then summons up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. There are a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. Finally, in SEAL training, there's a bell. A brass bell that hangs in the center of the compound for all the students to see. All you have to do to quit is ring the bell. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to wake up at 5 o'clock. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to be in the freezing cold swims. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to do the runs, the obstacle course, the PT, and you no longer have to endure the hardships of training. All you have to do is ring the bell to get out. If you want to change the world, don't ever, ever ring the bell.
Just hear some things that he highlighted, but Lord, I just thank you this morning. I just believe Holy Spirit's saying, if you felt like ringing that bell, even recently, don't ring the bell. He's saying, I've brought you here today to lift up your arms, to strengthen you, to fortify you as one body and as individuals. Thank you, Lord. You know, the enemy wants to tempt us to getting us to think about ringing the bell. If you ring the bell, you no longer have to endure the hardship. You no longer have to wake up at 5 a.m. You no longer have to do the hard training. But the Lord's saying, I've designed you to make it through the warfare. I've designed you to make it through the heartache. I've designed you to make it through the disappointments and the challenges. And you may fall on your face or feel like caving in, but cave into me, he says. Stay the course. And in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord wants to get us to a place where we won't fear evil, where we'll embrace him as our comforter. And so I just felt that there was a lot of prophetic significance through that. And, you know, the battles that we're fighting in life, they're not just for us and our breakthrough. It's for the generations to come. It's for our children, our children's children. It's for our spiritual children. It's for the people that come after us so they can stand on our shoulders and go farther than us. And so today I just felt like the Lord is reminding us of who we are, that we're frontline. You know, the Lord's called us to be on those front lines, and it may seem like the battle is fierce, and it is, but he's designed us for it. But there's a place where, you know, elite special forces, they train for that, and they always have the mission in mind. And I believe that the Lord's calling us to take back territory and to operate in an elite manner. And specifically in the area I want to discuss today is the area of our mind, that I just believe that the Lord wants to raise the level of what goes on in our mind, you know, that we have an elite mindset, that we have a focused mindset, that we have a sober mindset, as the scripture calls. And it's a very joyful place to be. But I believe that there's territory that needs to be taken back. I know this is something he's personally been doing with me, but taken back in our minds, strongholds that need to be brought down. But it doesn't stop there. Today I want to talk about strongholds, but I also want to talk about, you know, strongholds that we want to take down that the enemy has put in our minds. But also the scripture talks about fortresses and guards that the Lord can erect in our mind, so that once those strongholds are torn down, our mind is fortified against the enemy's attacks, that we don't fall into the same pattern, that our mind isn't a playground for the enemy, that our mind isn't just mediocrity and worldly thoughts, but that our mind is a tool, a weapon in the hands of the Lord. Because so many times in our lives, you know, the enemy will use our mind against us. But the Lord actually says, no, your mind is my weapon. It was designed to be my weapon to take ground from the enemy and to go on the offensive and to be a grounds that's where it's just so ripe for faith. It's so when troubles and challenges come, that our guttural reaction isn't fear and anxiety, but it's, well, what's the Lord going to do? It's expectation, even an eagerness to see how he's going to come through. So I believe the Lord wants to keep our minds from a place of mediocrity or hopelessness or despair. And if we think about, you know, our mind and what we think about on a daily basis, I mean, just think about that for a second. You know, what I believe there are, the research says that there's like 60,000 thoughts that go through our minds over the course of any day. And 90% of those thoughts are repetitive. So what are we allowing into that space? Maybe if we're honest, we're kind of lazy when it comes to our minds. You know, we worry so much about how we look on the outside to others, appear like we're doing good, you know, our appearances. But when it comes to our mind, anything goes. We just let anything in there, you know. And maybe the majority of our focus is on worldly things, but we're not allowing the Lord's perspective to reign on those things in his direction. So talking about strongholds in the mind, the first scripture, if you can pull up 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, I believe the Lord's going to breathe new life on this very familiar scripture today. And in the NASB version, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage battle according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." So let's take a close look at the word stronghold. I looked this up, and in the concordance, the root word of stronghold means to fortify. And fortify means to reinforce by adding material and to make strong. So it's building something. We're always building something with our minds. So one way to look at strongholds is to think about, you know, when a challenge comes in life, how do we build our safe place? How do we somehow make it okay? How do we cope with that? When trouble comes, where do our thoughts immediately go? Do they go to all the what ifs of, well, this could happen or this could happen or all the terrible things? Does our heart go to worry and anxiety? And each time we worry and stay in worry, we're actually reinforcing a stronghold in our mind. But each time that we take that challenge and we take those thoughts that are coming and we match them up against remembering God's goodness and what he's done and the testimony of his word, we reinforce him as our safe place. So when thoughts enter our mind about situations or circumstances or whatever it is, we have a choice, right? We have a choice to worry or stay in a place. And we might initially do that, but what do we do with that? Or we have a choice, and that can reinforce a stronghold of unbelief, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, despair, all of these things, these bad circle that the enemy wants us to stay in, or we can remember what the Lord's done, stand on his word, and then we reinforce him as our safe place. So we're always building something with our minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Everything that we do, all of our actions, they spring from our thoughts. They spring from what's in our heart. You know, it starts as a thought. So, for instance, if you're expecting a certain outcome in a situation, like, you know, the Lord calls you to do maybe something at work or something in your family, or you're thinking about something, and it's an impossible situation, if you're immediately thinking of, well, this is probably going to go wrong, or, well, this person thinks this of me, so this is going to happen, and then this. Well, if you're expecting a certain negative outcome, then you're going to plan and act accordingly, and it may be even on a subconscious level. But what you're doing, you know, springs from what you're thinking. So if we look again at 2 Corinthians 10, the figurative definition in the concordance of stronghold speaks of false argument in which a person seeks shelter or a safe place to escape reality. So think for a moment about Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Satan presented initially Eve with these twisted arguments about the tree, about knowing good and evil. And that led her to believe that her long-term advantage for being in a safe place was to eat the forbidden fruit, even though that argument went up against the knowledge of God, went up against God's word. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to build up these false arguments, these false realities in our mind, and those realities result in habitual behavior that's counter to obedience to the word of God. So instead, decisions that we make in life are based on maybe our opinions or what we feel is self-preservation or selfish desires, all of that. So we want to see those strongholds brought down. We want our mind to be a place that's just flowing with the thoughts of God, with belief, with faith in him, with the word of God and all of that. So the root, going back to that word stronghold again, the root word of that for fortify is also used for the Greek word, which stands for a prison in antiquity. And I was reading, I want to read a passage from an article. You can look it up. It's by someone named Sarah Witten on Elijah List, and it's entitled An Opportune Time. And she says, have you ever been in a bad situation so long that it feels almost scary to leave? God is highlighting right now that there are people being called out of longstanding familiar prisons. They have come to know and even find comfort in them. So it's hard to step out in accordance with the words that they're hearing from the Lord. As they do, however, God is something better that has been waiting. Strongholds in 2 Corinthians 10 are described as the arguments and reasonings by which a disputant endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. The biggest attacks right now are going to be by Satan, our opponent, and his subtle questions of reasoning. Are you sure God said that? Is it really worth it? What if? Don't let the enemy build his strongholds by continuing or fortifying his perspective. Fight back like Jesus did in the desert when he was tempted with God's word, the scripture. So God is making it very clear that the weapons of the world are not our weapons, but our battle will be won by standing on his word and acting in obedience in accordance with his spirit. The weapon of his word not only tears down strongholds, but it exposes lies and discerns truth. So a scriptural basis for this, just real quickly highlighting Hebrews 4:12, a familiar scripture, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In Luke 6:46 through 49, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built on a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So again, you know, this word clearly shows that our thoughts are building something. I think so many times we think, well, you know, all these thoughts are racing through my head. I'm just trying to do what I can and get the bad thoughts out and all of that. But we can actually have control over, you know, and have more of a scriptural talk about later about building a guard up against those thoughts. So we want to tear down those strongholds, obviously asking the Lord today to reveal what are those strongholds in my mind? What are those false safe places that I have, whether it's self-preservation or, you know, building our own little kingdom or our personal ambitions or whatever it is, and repenting and making a change. And so one key to this is daily taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's a very familiar scripture, but I hopefully want to look at it in a new way today. So how can we develop a thought life that we're not just fighting against all the time, but a thought life that's constantly building godly strongholds, godly guards around our minds so that we're not always battling with the enemy, trying to cast out the bad thoughts. If we're spending all our time, think about warfare. If all your time is just hand-to-hand combat, I mean, you're just going to be drained. You're going to be, you know, you need to have exceptional and excellent warfare. Yes, there's the hand-to-hand combat, but there's the development of the nuclear bomb and just dropping that. You know what I mean? There's missiles. There's cyber warfare. There's all these tools. Like, our mind, we limit it because we're just always fighting. But what if we get to the place where we build up such a guard that we're not having to do that hand-to-hand combat with the enemy all day, but our mind is actually fortified. Our mind is thinking on the miraculous. Our mind is thinking on, you know, his kingdom. Our mind is thinking on faith thoughts, like what is the Lord building and all of that, so that it's just this atomic weapon, you know, and not a place where there's just battle and struggle and exhaustion every day. And so I just believe the Lord wants to do that as we're those elite special forces. So there was a quote I heard recently that I really liked that I wanted to share. It's by Eddie Turner. He wrote a book called Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind. And this is something that just, this topic is something that I've been personally battling with a lot this past year, and the Lord recently is just like, do you really want to grow? Do you really want to mature in this area? Do you really want your mind to be, you know, look at the garden of your mind. Like, there's weeds, there's pests, there's a lot of junk. Because, and I had to take a, you come to a point where, you know, if you deal with anxious thoughts a lot, it can start to manifest on the outside where it's like, whoa, why am I breathing so fast? Whoa, why am I freaking out right now? Why am I so angry right now? What is going on? Like, it starts to manifest fruit in your life. And the Lord was speaking to me, Michelle, I want to get to the root of some of these strongholds in your mind so they can be brought down so you're not constantly battling this. And that's what he wants. You know, I have such a hunger for that. And the quote was, your thought life determines your quality of life, your direction in life, and your destiny in life. If your thought life is erratic, undisciplined, and chaotic, then your destiny is going to be erratic, undisciplined, and chaotic. So, you know, think of somebody, I can think of someone in my life who maybe doesn't have many physical luxuries, but they're just so thankful all the time. They're just overflowing with thankfulness. They're so grateful. They're so joyful, you know. But then think of someone who has maybe everything, but just miserable, you know. It's not the external circumstances that have to control, you know, our internal disposition. So if we want to look next at Romans 8, 5 through 7, we can just skip to the Passion Translation, just do that one. It says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death. The sense and reason of the flesh. So the fleshly, natural way of thinking about things. That leads to death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. If someone wants to pass out the handout, we do have a handout, and we're only going to touch on a couple things, but I thought you could take it home with you and use it in your quiet time this week. So God didn't create us as robots. Sometimes I wish he did. Like, someone just control me and tell me what to do, right? But he didn't. So he doesn't control our minds. But he gives us the ability to reason and the power of our will. But the thing is, we want that will and our thoughts to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. And we don't want our mind to always be controlled by, you know, our worldly aspirations or what we want. So I'm passing out a handout. It's by someone named Watchman Nee. If you don't know who he is, look it up. He's wonderful. And there are excerpts from a book called The Spiritual Man. And he was a great Chinese evangelist and revivalist. And he was persecuted for his faith. He was falsely accused in prison. He died, actually, an imprisoned man. But he started preaching at the age of 19. And he's written hundreds of Christian works. And he's been influential around the globe. And he's been credited with planting hundreds, maybe thousands of churches, underground churches in China. He died in 1972. So just a couple, you can take this home with you, but he lays it out real simply. Like, have you ever really thought about what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Like, what does that mean? If I had to describe that to a five-year-old, how would I do that? And sometimes I need things described to me like I'm a five-year-old. So I just want to read together from the first paragraph. He says, the more spiritual a believer is, the more he knows about the importance of walking according to the Spirit and the danger of walking according to the flesh. But what does walking according to the Spirit really mean? Romans 8 provides the answer. It is to simply mind the Spirit and have a spiritual mind. Whatever the mind is minding, that is what we will walk after. If the mind is minding the flesh, we'll walk according to the flesh. If the mind is minding the Spirit, then we'll walk according to the Spirit. Therefore, we don't need to ask if we're walking according to the Spirit. We only need to ask if we're minding the Spirit, paying attention to the Spirit, searching for the activities of the Spirit. There is no such thing as minding the things of the flesh while walking according to the Spirit. Whatever your mind is minding must be what you're walking after. In our daily life, what is our mind thinking about and paying attention to and setting itself on? What are we paying attention and submitting to? And skipping the next paragraph and going down to the third, why is minding the mind or the things of the Spirit so important? And it's important because it's the biggest prerequisite for us receiving the leading of the Spirit. So many believers wish that God would make arrangements for them and lead them through the circumstances alone, but they don't mind their spirit or pay any attention to the activities of their spirit. Many times the indwelling Holy Spirit has already guided us in our spirit man. Remember, we're a three-part body. We're spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. But we are unable to be clear about his guidance because our mind is so dull and foolish. Many times the Holy Spirit has revealed something to our spirit already, but the sensation of the spirit is neglected because our mind is not paying attention to the activities of the spirit, or perhaps it's minding a thousand other things. At other times, our spirit is not wrong, but our mind is wrong, and we are still not able to walk according to the Spirit. If we're not constantly minding the things of the Spirit, how can we know the intention of the Spirit and walk after it? Our mind should be as a watchman. It should always be minding, comprehending, and understanding the intention of the Spirit, so our outer man may be fully submissive. And he goes on, and there's a lot of really deep truths in his works, but I just love that. I feel like he put it very simply, you know. Our challenge is that our thought life just wants to run wild, and we might, you know, feel overpowered by the bad thoughts or just the worldly thoughts or whatever. And sometimes, to our flesh, the concept of, well, thinking about spiritual things or what the Holy Spirit's doing, it can almost feel like a difficult exercise. Like, we could even be sitting in church, and our mind is just wanting to think anxious thoughts or think about, you know, something else that doesn't have to do with the Lord. And the Lord's wanting to grow us up so that we're cultivating in our mind, just always looking after, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in this? What's your opinion of this? What are your thoughts toward this? What does your word say about this? Every aspect of our life, so that our mind is always marinating on what the Lord's thoughts are toward the things that are happening. So our mind's going to think, we can't turn it off, right? But we can direct it how to think. Skipping ahead a little bit. When we talk about the scripture, let's see. Back to 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So when I think about that scripture, I'm always thinking, okay, taking every thought captive, grabbing that negative thought or that bad thought or that whatever thought, and I got to take it captive, and I got to throw it away. But the rest of that verse says, to the obedience of Christ. There's another part of that. And so the Lord's been showing me, you know, when there's a thought that enters our mind that we know is not God's thought, we want to cast it out, you know, exit, stage left. But then we have to replace it with the Lord's thought about that. Because that's taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's turning that thought on its head, if it's from the enemy, and saying, no, this is actually what this is. This is what the Lord says about this. So here's an example. A thought might race, you know, think about a family member who's challenging, maybe, or something like that. You know, the thoughts toward that family member might be like, ugh, they annoy me. I kind of want to avoid them at the next family gathering. You know, I don't really want to think about them, they've offended me, blah, 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 blah. And those are the thoughts that are always flooding our mind regarding that person. But if we're taking that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we might say, okay, Lord, I'm going to repent of that negative thought, because that's not how you, they're fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. That's not how you think about them. And I'm going to take it captive to the obedience of Christ. So a couple things that came to my heart were just, you know, thank you, Lord, that that family member or that person who might annoy me a little bit is fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you that you know the plans you have for them. Thank you that, you know, what everything the scripture says about them, and flood your mind with those thoughts instead of the opinions that you have about them, and release those thoughts over that person. And that is turning an enemy bad thought, taking it captive, and then submitting it to the obedience of Christ. You know, there it's taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So, because like the scripture that talks about, you know, when you bind the strong man, and you take him out, you got to replace it with something, or there's going to be, you know, however many more that come back in its place. It's the same thing with our thoughts. We don't just expel the bad thought. We turn the enemy's plan upside down and say, no, this is God's thought toward this situation. I'm going to choose to think this, and I'm going to choose to believe this, and I'm going to choose to act on this, and I'm going to see your power released in that situation or in that relationship, whatever it is. Another example of taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, I was thinking about Pastor Bill's message last week. And he talked about Matthew 13:14, where he said, the kingdom is like treasure in a field. So one thought we might have when we're asked to minister or do something is, you know, I don't feel like it, I don't have time for that, I don't want to do that. But we could replace that thought with, well, Lord, your kingdom is treasure, and if I'm going to see this as treasure, I'm going to see this, you know, I'm going to view it differently. Lord, give me your perspective. And it's amazing how once our mind starts to think about something a certain way, our emotions can line up with that. Our will lines up with that. So much is led by the mind. And I'm going to have to kick it in high tail. But so one funny picture I had in my mind as I was driving here about how we do this is picture Satan as you're driving on the highway, and the devil comes up in a, you know, red car next to you or whatever. Doesn't have to be, okay, a red car, red speed car. And the devil's texting while driving, and he's not paying attention, and he swerves into your lane. You're going like 80 miles an hour, 75 on the highway, and he swerves into your lane. You know, what do you do in the natural when someone, is that happened to me this morning, not on the highway, but you want to lay on the horn and be like, hey, get out of my lane, you know, like, and let's do that to the devil with his crappy thoughts, right? Like, picture those thoughts coming in, those negative thoughts, those offensive thoughts, those unbelief thoughts as the devil texting, driving, swerving in your lane. Lay on the horn and be like, no, get out of my lane, you know? Expel those thoughts, eject those thoughts, and continue driving. You know, I have such a hunger in this season to operate in an elite special forces mindset because it's so easy to spend an entire day wasting your thoughts, ruminating on all the bad things that could happen, all the anxious thoughts, all the feelings of insufficiency. You know, when you know the Lord's called you to do something and it looks impossible and you're predisposed to set everybody up for failure because it's probably not going to happen. No, you know, we're created to have a mind that's thinking thoughts of faith, thinking about the miraculous. And so just to audit our thought life, you know, we audit our businesses, we do it in the natural, but do we do it? Sometimes I think we think the Holy Spirit's just going to hit us over the head with a lightning bolt and fix everything in our brain, but it's a daily discipline of taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It's a daily discipline of choosing to think on the word, feast on the word, think about it, ruminate on it, you know, and to audit our thought life is easy. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or tink on these things, as Pastor Samuel says, with his Ghanaian accent. I think we're kidding ourselves if we can just think our thought life can just be worldly and selfishly minded and, you know, I mean, it's so easy to get on those Facebook reels and just scroll, 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 because there's funny stuff on there. Like, I was scrolling the other day, and there was this hilarious video about whatever. It was just about raising kids, and it was funny, and it was set to some George Michael song. And then, like, all day long, all I'm thinking about is that stupid George Michael song. It's like, what, you know? Like, it didn't just scroll, 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 and it's mindless. I mean, the enemy, I think, uses Facebook reels sometimes. And this is not, you know, to put the law, but... because it's just like the flesh wants the mindless entertainment all the time, right? But it's, I find that when I spend 3 hours as I'm trying to go to sleep scrolling on the mindless, I wake up in the morning, I'm not super encouraged, right? I mean, my flesh is strong. My spirit is not so strong when I go to, you know, and it's the practical things in life. The Lord wants, says, I'm raising you up to a level of maturity where you're not just mindlessly scrolling through life, you know. You're thinking on the miraculous. You're thinking on, and it takes discipline. But he's given us the power. And when we take that step to say, no, I'm not going to mindlessly scroll. I'm going to go to the word. Holy Spirit backs us up. He loves that. He's ready to back us up, but it takes an act of our will to do that. So think about if Jesus were here evaluating our mind on a daily basis, would he be pleased or not? So let's be proactive about it. This is a hard word to preach because I struggle with this. But you know what? Let's lift each other up. Let's encourage each other because we're going to take out those strongholds. We can't have carelessness up here. We can't. We don't have, like, the time is gone for just, well, I look good on the outside. I look good and religious. I'm smiling, but it is dirty in here. Like, no. No, it is time for us to have pure minds, for us to have minds filled with the scripture, filled with, and when that happens and we're praying in the Spirit and all these things, our spirit rises and it becomes easier and easier. I think we heard something on Tuesday recently from John Brevere. You know, if you want to hunger after the Scripture, read more of the Scripture. Because the more you read, the hungrier you get for it. And that is true. Your emotions and your will line up if you just take that act of the will and you bend it to obedience to the Lord. And it's amazing what happens. So just to fly through the rest, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you look at the word guard in Philippians 4:7, the Greek meaning is to garrison or build a fort around or to post a military guard. The Lord promises to post a guard around our heart and mind if we trust in him with our needs in everyday life. So think about Philippians 4, 6, and 7 as a promise. So the promise is, and let's work our way back. The promise is, if you do these, fulfill these conditions, then the peace of God will guard or garrison or post a guard up around your mind from the enemy, and you'll be full of the peace, and you'll walk through life with peace. But what are the conditions to that guard being built up in your mind? First condition, easy, refuse anxiety. Is that easy? But it can become easier in Jesus' name. But when you start to feel anxious, you know, speak out. No, I'm justified. I'm loved. All the promises of Scripture, just like we talked about, taking those anxious thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The second condition to that guard of peace being posted up in our mind against the enemy is to pray about everything. So many times the mental peace isn't there because we don't pray. We're trying to handle problems that come our way with our own resources. That's our first, you know, guttural reaction to problems is, oh, I'm going to figure this out, you know, and we don't pray first. And then the third condition is always being thankful, praying to God with thanksgiving. Ingratitude is opposite to the nature of God. So if we fill these conditions, you know, I want us to think about the scripture this week, then that guard, that garrison around our mind can be built up, and we don't have to be engaging all the time in that hand-to-hand combat. Real quick, John 5 through 6, I love the scripture. It's before the miracle of the loaves and fishes. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to his disciple Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. You know, what if we, before we go about our day, already have in mind what miraculous thing the Lord wants to do? What if you start ruminating instead of all the things that could go wrong or all the things we're scared about on, no, this is miracle territory. What miracle do you want to do, Lord? What supernatural breakthrough do you want to bring? How do you want to use me to bless someone? You know, all these things, like letting ourselves ruminate on that. So I just want to close with, you know, what does it look like in life? What will our life look like when our mind is renewed and fortified in these ways, when the strongholds are brought down and we have that garrison of peace around our mind? And this is what we want to walk in. You know, I got to quote Derek Prince. If you know me, you know. But I'm going to use his words. The renewed mind is not self-centered, but it's God-centered. It's not motivated by these three verbs: I want, I think, I feel. That's convicting. Instead of our own, God's values, God's purposes and objectives, these become more important to us than our own. According to 1 Corinthians 10:31, the renewed mind's desires and purposes are only to do that which will be unto the glory of God. Remember, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. The renewed mind does not ask, what will I get out of this? It asks, will God get glory out of this? Matthew 10, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're in effect renouncing our own will. Did you ever think about it like that? We're saying, if my will crosses with God's will prevail. That's the marker of a renewed mind. The renewed mind is always directed toward establishing God's kingdom on earth. And the second mark of a renewed mind is that it's not proud or self-seeking. The renewed mind is not looking to rule, but to serve. Not to get, but to give. It patterns its life on the life of Jesus, that it doesn't think of itself first. And in Matthew 20, 25, Jesus said to his disciples, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In our culture, the idea of being a servant isn't popular. It's countercultural. You know, everybody wants to look after their own interests, and that's champion. But that's not the renewed mind. It doesn't seek to exalt itself or make its life great. It seeks to humble itself. Just before we close, I love this quote by D.L. Moody. He says, when I was young, and it reminds me of what Mike Wheeler shared at Communion. When I was young, I used to think the best gifts were on the top shelves and you had to reach up to get them. Now I've learned that the best gifts are on the bottom shelves. You don't reach up for them, but you stoop down for them. So the renewed mind is, you know, we get to a place where we're not waking up in the morning thinking about ourselves or self-preservation. I mean, obviously we have to look after our families and work and things like that, but there's a way that the Lord wants to breathe life into our thoughts so that we're thinking his thoughts about the daily things, and we're thinking about, you know, how to serve and how to lay down and not preserving ourselves or making ourselves comfortable, but just how we can be Jesus in every situation. You know, our mind is such a precious gift from the Lord, and the enemy's always battling for control. He's battling to take ground so that it's harder and harder for us to be obedient. But no one can control, he doesn't have the power to control our mind. You know, that's us. And so the Holy Spirit, in his power, this morning, I just believe as we close, I just want to just do an activation and prayer together. So you can just close your eyes. We just want to present ourselves to the Lord in a fresh and new way. To present our mind and our thoughts and any strongholds in our mind. And I just want to review a few questions for us to present to Holy Spirit as we present ourselves. So, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, just to give us revelation on any strongholds in our mind, Lord, that you want to see brought down today, that it is possible, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to illuminate, Lord, in this moment. Just ask him, what strongholds of the enemy are in place right now and keeping me stuck? Lord, show us. Show us what patterns of thinking or unbelief or despair or hopelessness. A lot of it comes back to just orphan thinking, not believing that God created us and he loves us and there's nothing we could do or not do that makes us makes him love us any more or less, but he's called us to walk with his kingdom first in mind. So, Lord, what strongholds of the enemy are in place right now and keeping me stuck? Next, what defense, strength, comfort does this stronghold appear to give me? What have I gone to in those moments for comfort? Where do my thoughts go in those challenging moments, in those challenging relational issues or challenging things that I've been contending for, challenging work situations, whatever it is. And Lord, show us the limitations or traps in these patterns of thinking. Lord, reveal to us your words right now, your word about how you can be that defense, that strong tower, that strength, that comfort in those situations. Lord, we repent for where we haven't gone to you as our strong tower. Lord, we don't have to live like that. You created us to have you as our first strong tower, as the first place of safety, as the first place we go to for comfort, as the first place we go to for reassurance, Lord. And Lord, we don't have to have all the questions answered. We just need to know where to go. Lord, forgive us for where we've pursued comfort and self-preservation above you. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, I pray in this moment that I just believe you're by your Spirit tearing down those strongholds as we repent, as we present ourselves before you in the area of our mind, in the area of our thought life. Lord, you're showing us where there's been offense or judgment against others. You're showing us where there's been condemnation and shame or just fear of man that's been at the root of so many of our actions and our thoughts. Lord, if we're just constantly thinking about what somebody else is going to think, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. All that matters is what you think, Lord. That's all that matters. Thank you, Lord, that as we just present our mind, Lord, you're just washing, you're cleansing, you're purifying, Lord. Lord, anywhere where there's been depression and hopelessness, we just bind and cast that out in the name of Jesus. Take authority over that in the name of Jesus. That we are your child. You created our mind, Lord God. We give you full control over our mind, Lord. Where that's been our place, our little skeleton in the closet that we just said, this is my area, back off. Just let me have my thoughts. Lord, we repent of that mindset, Lord. Lord, we want our thoughts to be aligned with your thoughts. Lord, so our actions can spring out of that. Lord, so our emotions can line up with how we were created to be, how we were created to operate, how we were created to function, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Those strongholds are being torn down. And thank you, Lord, that you're building up that fortress of peace, Lord God, that this can be a week where we exercise every day our mind to just take every thought captive and then bring it into obedience to you, Jesus. To bring every thought, every negative thought, and turn it around to be a thought that's obedient to you, to be your thought toward that person or situation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes, Lord, and illuminating and bringing that revelation, Lord, that we can walk like that. We can walk with that kind of purpose in the area of our mind and of our thoughts. And Lord, finally, show us how we can build through our actions, through our daily thoughts, how we can build in a way that reinforces your words, your truths, your opinions, and tears down any patterns of thinking that aren't of you. Lord, we'll be quick to repent, quick to eject. And Lord, we break off the thought that, well, I've always struggled with anxiety. I'm always going to... No, that's not true. Because, Lord, you say that we can be people who walk anxious in nothing, but praying through everything and being thankful in everything and presenting all of our requests to you, that our minds will be guarded by your peace, God. So we just thank you, Father, for this day, Lord God. We thank you for you already have in mind what you want to do through us this week, Lord, this day. And Father, just give us just a new willpower and fervor to meditate on the miraculous, or to meditate on all the wonderful things that you want to do, Lord God, all the miraculous things that you want to do, and how we can be a blessing, Lord, in this world, how we can take back ground from the enemy, Lord. Thank you that we are your elite special forces, God, and if we don't feel like it, Lord, just let us claim it anyway, Lord, because that's who we are. That's who you are grooming us in a good way to be, Lord God. We're in training, and Father, we're in this together, Lord, so help us to build one another up, Lord, in our most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are free to stay. I can stay up here for a little bit if anyone wants personal prayer. But I believe we are released if there are no further announcements. So bless you. Have a wonderful week. And Tuesday, 7 p.m., Fire and Wind. Next Sunday, Larson House. Don't come here. Nobody will be here.